The Well is a gospel-centered church located in Boulder, Colorado. We exist to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. For more information about The Well, please visit us online at www.boulderwell.org.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to The Well. You guys braved the weather. You made it. Good Colorado, I don't know how to say it. Colorado people. So good to be with you guys. It is awesome to be here. We are continuing our series in the book of Proverbs here this morning. And so I have a question. These aren't just sitting here for no reason. But you probably know what this is, Rubik's Cube. Who in here can complete a Rubik's Cube? Okay, great. I'm joking. I wouldn't make you do. So this is a Rubik's Cube. I cannot figure it out. I literally have sat around for hours and hours trying to play with this thing, and I am extremely frustrated, and I do not like it. And this Rubik's Cube, the interesting thing about it is because of my obsession with this, and I became obsessed with it because my neighbor, Nate, he's one of my good friends, he's my neighbor, he can bang these things out in about a minute to 2 minutes. And so this is his, right? He did this for me last night, just to kind of rub it in. I was telling him I was going to use him as a sermon illustration, and I said I won't stop until he comes to church with me. So that's my evangelism tactic. Not working out yet, but we'll see. He did this one really quickly. And so it got me thinking. I kind of just looked at these things, and as I was thinking about the topic in which we're in Proverbs this week, I was like, you know what? It's actually, a Rubik's Cube is a great example of what we're talking about today. And so what we've come to today in the book of Proverbs is we are looking at the topic of friendship. Friendship. Now, friendship, for some of us, looks a bit more like this. A little confused. Not exactly sure how it works, and at times very frustrating. For others, you ever been around the person that just seems to be able to make friends with everybody all the time, no matter what? That would be this Rubik's Cube. I'm this Rubik's Cube in this story. This is me. This is part of my story. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe not for me. If I'm being really honest, I'll set these here for now. But I have struggled a good chunk of my life, honestly, with having really good friends. I wouldn't say I really didn't have great friends a little bit till later in life, until probably like the last 10 years or so of my life. I would say like that's when I really established some really solid, good friendships. I mean, I've had friendships longer than that, and there's things, but let's just be honest. I'm kind of a difficult person, if I'm being honest, right? I'm not the easiest person to be a friend with, and that's one of the things I've had to learn over time. I like to say I'm like weird cheese. If you try it enough, maybe over time you'll like it and grow to at least appreciate it. I am an acquired taste, and I've learned to understand that. But when I look through the book of Proverbs and we study this idea, this topic of friendship, what I see in there was, man, something that was really quite honestly missing from my life for a lot of my life. The kind of friendship that we see in there. There's a great verse in Proverbs, Proverbs 17:17. It says this, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Wow, that's a pretty profound statement, right? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friendship like that had escaped me for a lot of my life. And I got a feeling that many of us, depending on where you're at in life, maybe there was a season where you're like, man, I had really good friends, but I moved, or I'm in a different phase of life, or now I have kids and my other friends don't, or I'm married or they're not married. I'm single. Well, I don't know how this works. There's a lot of dynamics that comes to play in a friendship, right? It's not just an easy thing. It's much more like this, right? It's a complex thing. It's not simple, right? And when we really get down to what we're after in friendship, there's a great book called The Relational Soul. I highly recommend reading it. But The Relational Soul, there's a quote from it. I want to read to you about friendship, about what friendship is kind of all about. And it kind of frames our discussion here this morning. And it says this, "Soulful relationships call for understanding, especially self-understanding. The self-clarity we speak of is not something we can glean and gather by ourselves. We need someone else to guide us, show us, and see us. We are all afraid of this level of intimacy. but it is an indispensable passage to soulful relationships. We need a mature Christian friend in our lives. I don't know if you caught it in there. If I were to boil it down, I think this is what Proverbs is getting at, and we'll see it as we go through several texts here this morning. But when we really boil down friendship, friendship's about something. It's about seeing another person and being seen by that person. The ability to see another person and the willingness to be seen by that person. And even saying that, like saying being seen, it feels a little invasive, doesn't it? Right? It feels a little overbearing almost, but that's the reality of friendship. That's the depth and level of intimacy that we are all called to. And here's the thing. We're designed for it. We're actually made. We are relational beings at our core. It's who we are. We are designed for friendship. We're relational beings that were made by a relational God, right? You know God's relational, right? Like you understand that God is not alone in himself. So if you're new to church, we have this thing called the Trinity. And so the Trinity, we believe, is three separate persons that make up God. One God, three distinct persons, okay? And so that would be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they live in perfect community and friendship within themselves. And so God himself, in the very being of who he is relational. Now, you are created in the image of what? Say it out loud. The image of God. You're created in the image of God. Therefore, the fingerprint of God is found on you. You are made in his image. He is a relational God. And so the relational DNA that he has given us is in all of us. It is there. And this is extremely important for us to understand. And a little side note, this might be, you know, friendship's a funky thing. It might even be why you find yourself here today. Sometimes we find ourselves in a church for the purpose of what? I want to find a friend. And it's interesting because in there, within that, we can actually come into some problems with that. Because here's the deal. There's a lot of misconceptions around what a friend is and what a friend isn't, where we get friends, how friends should operate. It's a pretty complex thing, right? And so we come into a church community a lot of times, and I'm speaking particularly to Christians here, and we go, I'm hoping to find a friend. The problem with that is this. It's not that you shouldn't find a friend within a church. That's not the primary purpose of the church. And so we find ourselves disappointed at times that I don't have friends like I found, but the purpose of the church is to proclaim the gospel everywhere until everybody knows it, right? And equip the saints for the work of ministry in proclaiming that gospel. Now, friendship obviously comes out of that oftentimes, right? That's a great side effect of the local church, but it's one of the things where we get wrong in our understanding of friendship, particularly in Christian circles with churches. We hope a church will give me a friend group. It will give me community. That's what we say. When I talk to people oftentimes, I go, you're looking for a church? Like, yeah. I'm like, what are you looking for? Just a great community. That's not actually the purpose of the church. It's okay. It's a good thing to want and desire. And that does happen within there. But it just kind of speaks to the reality that we're a bit confused about how to even make friends and what that can look like. And for me, listen, it's only been probably, like I've said, like I've had some friends for a very long time, but I would say multiple deep friendships. When I say multiple, I mean like three or four kind of just like men who are good friends of mine that I know no matter what have got my back. Like, it's only really been in the last 10 years that I've really cultivated those relationships. And here's what I've learned. If we want to have these sort of meaningful friendships and relationships, we have to learn something. And it's this, that friendship is a wisdom issue. I want you to remember that. Friendship is a wisdom issue. And that's what we learned from the book of Proverbs. The quality and depth of friendships has more to do with wisdom than we may think. Have you ever thought of friendship in that? Like friendship is a wisdom thing that I need to think through. I hadn't thought of it until, honestly, recently. But friendship is a wisdom issue. Listen to what Pastor Ray Ortlund says about wisdom, and we can apply this here. He says this, wisdom is when we outgrow our misconceptions about how life should work, and we learn how God actually built life to work. Let me read that again. Wisdom is when we outgrow our misconceptions about how life should work, and we learn how God actually built life to work. I love that, because what we have to do, if we are to be a people that are growing, and as we should be, right, the Christian life is growth throughout the whole life. Nobody ever arrives. Nobody's ever done. But one of the parts of that is a wisdom part is this, is that we outgrow our misconceptions about how life should work. And so for us here today, maybe the invitation for some of us is, the invitation has been laid before us to outgrow some of our misconceptions about how friendship works. We have to outgrow it, we have to mature, and then we have to submit ourselves to how God says it works. And that's what Proverbs gives us insight into. I love this, though. So what misconceptions do you have about friendship? You just think right now. What are some things you're like, I'm probably off on that? Maybe it is, like we already talked about, that the church's job is to give me friends. That's a misconception. Or maybe it's, I see this oftentimes, it's usually on a one-sided kind of relationship where it's like somebody believes that a friendship is there for them. They're always asking the question is, what are you going to give me? What are you going to do for me? Instead of being sacrificial back and forth, right? Or maybe I see this often. Sometimes people treat a friend more like a therapist than a friend, right? And it's not that a friend can't listen and help you out with stuff, but they're also your friend, right? Where you can just hang out. It doesn't always have to be so serious. There's all kinds of misconceptions that we can have about friendship. But hear me, today I want you to make a commitment to yourself and to God. I want you to make friendship a wisdom issue and commit to outgrowing misconceptions that you may have about it. So where do we start? Where are we going to start when we're talking about friendship? What's kind of the foundation for biblical understanding of friendship? Well, here's good news. We get to start with good news. We get to start with the best news. And it's this, that God is our friend through Christ. Like that is the foundation. Now don't gloss over that, especially if you've been around Christianity or the church for a long time. You can go, yeah, I got it. Jesus is my friend. Cool. How do I get friends? Listen, if you don't understand that the God of the universe has called you friend and the implications for that, it's going to be a hindrance into all the other relationships that you have. This is why we call it a foundation. We have to lay the right foundation. I love this passage. John 15:15 says this. It says, no longer do I call you servants. And this is Jesus speaking, okay? This is God talking. And listen to what he says. For the servant does not know what his master is doing. And I love this. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Like, we should just be blown away by that, what was just said. Jesus, God incarnate, says, you're my friend. That's a remarkable statement. We're not servants, we're friends. It's different, right? This is what Jesus is saying here. This is great news. We are friends with God through Jesus Christ. And there's a lot we could pull from this point, right? Like, I could do a whole entire series on this point alone. As a matter of fact, we did. We called it Friend of Sinners. And so you can go online, you can listen to it. We did a whole series on this, right? But the most important thing that I see today in the context of what we're looking at is this. Truth that we need to embrace and own is that by coming to Christ, by having a relationship with him, he calls us friend. Therefore, we are never friendless and we are never alone. Like, how good is that? Like, and I mean, you might look at me and go, yeah, I get it, but like, do you actually believe that? Growing up, I moved around a fair bit, not a ton. I wasn't like a military brat or anything, but I went to several schools growing up. I remember the most difficult transition for me, at least the scariest. I was fine, honestly, pretty quickly, but it was the beginning of my eighth grade year, I started a new school. And so I finished seventh grade at one school and went to a new school at eighth grade. And it was terrifying, right? Where does your mind go when you go new school first day? The cafeteria. Right, and I remember like very distinctly getting my lunch tray, walking in and just going like, where do I sit? And you're thinking like, they all know each other. They're all friends. They all have people. And I'm sitting here, I don't even know where to sit, right? And I honestly actually don't remember what happened, but I remember getting to that point and just being terrified, right? I remember the first day. I remember what it was like. You see, I hadn't become a Christian yet, but you know what would have been really comforting for me? And I don't know if I would have remembered to do this or not, but I like to think that knowing that it would have been there would have been a very comforting thing for my soul. As an eighth grade boy being terrified, would be this. It's okay, Matt. Jesus is your friend, and you're not alone, and he's got you right now. And here's something I've learned is that as an adult now, we walk into room after room without a friend. We walk into situation after situation, and we can feel very alone, right? We can feel scared. We can feel intimidated. We can feel like we don't know what we're doing there. But this reality can come into play for us now. It's not just for eighth grade Matt. This is for all of us sitting here in this room, is that you are not alone, that Jesus is with you and he calls you his friend. How many people do you think need to hear that in this world? Right? It's a beautiful reality of the gospel. Knowing that you are a friend of God not only can kind of just sustain us in the difficult moments, it actually gives us our identity, right? You see, if we don't understand our relationship with God properly, and there's a lot more than just friendship. God calls us sons, right, and daughters, and we see regularly throughout Scripture that we are heirs. There's all sorts of stories, but for today, we're looking at this reality of friendship, and friendship is part of our identity. Being a friend of God is part of our identity, of our makeup, of who we are. And so what that can do is the reality is as we look for friendships with other human beings, as we should, as we are created to do, right? We don't have to lose hope when it doesn't go well. We don't have to put an unnecessary burden on another person. You ever felt that? It's kind of awkward, right? Where somebody's like, you're my friend. And you're like, I am. Oh, okay. Wasn't aware, and then they like call all the time, and you're like, I don't know if this is working for me. That's okay, right? But the reality is we need to have our foundation in the reality that Jesus is our friend. And here's the good news. He's our friend no matter what. No matter what. Listen, I've got some really great friends now, and they're awesome, and I love them to death, and they fail me, and I fail them. That's part of the reality of the gospel, right? And so I mean it when I say that Jesus will be our friend no matter what. Luke 7:34 says this. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus is a friend of sinners. And guess what? That's really good news for you and me, because guess what? You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And Jesus came and sat and ate and drank with his people. And even when everybody around them started teasing them, making fun of them, calling them out, and even it got to the point in Jesus' case where he was killed, right? What did he do? He sat with them. Let them talk. And he was there. Man, that's a good friend, right? Sits by our side when the worst insults can get slung our ways. And this is what God does for you. Jesus is truly a friend of sinners. And here's the beauty of the gospel in all this. Friendship, do you know where it starts? Friendship starts in heaven and came to earth. That's how it works. And God loves you so much that he saw it fit to be your friend that he would come to earth and call you his friend. What a remarkable God we serve. And this is the foundation for understanding friendship. This is where we have to start. This is what we have to build upon. And friendship, ultimately, it's been modeled for us by Jesus himself. And while we'll never fully live the way Jesus did, he has modeled what a friend is to look like, has he not? He has come. He's come near. He sat with people when they hurt. He was there. He sacrificed for them. He was willing to tell them the truth to help them get out of whatever problem they're in. He did all of these things. He has modeled it for us. And listen, the reality is nobody in here is going to ever be as good a friend as Jesus is to anybody in here. But he has modeled it for us, and that's why it is our foundation. So Jesus is our friend. But we have to know, what is a friend? Right? I think that's kind of the next step. So we can see the foundation is that Jesus is our friend and that he has done it perfectly and he has modeled it for us. But now we kind of need to get a little bit more practical and go, what is a friend? Now, Proverbs talks a lot about friendship. Like if you did a word search on friend, friendships, friends, all those things, you're going to find a lot of passages. As a matter of fact, you're going to find a lot of passages in all of Scripture about friendship. It's a very important thing, and you see it over and over again. But for time's sake today, what I want to do is there's two keys that I see repeated over and over and over again in the book of Proverbs. And the first one is this. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says this. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find it. So the first one is friendship is predicated on faithfulness. There is a faithfulness to friendship. It's not perfect, but faithfulness matters when we're discussing friendship, right? And the second one, we've already read this verse, but I'm going to read it again, Proverbs 17, 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friend loves, but it's also the part I'm focusing in on there, and we see it over and over again, is that a friend is there in adversity. They walk with us. We walk with them. Adversity isn't something that would make us go, now I'm not a friend with that person, right? Now, I know there's variations and there's things that can happen. I understand all that, but in a general sense, absolutely not. I remember probably one of my best friends and first real true friends that I had on a very deep level where we would talk a lot and just share about things that we were nervous about. And I think a big part of it was we both kind of had funky backgrounds. A little bit. This guy, his name's Steve. We lived together late in college. He was done with college. I was still wrapping up college. And then we lived together for a while right before I got married. And Steve was a pastor's kid growing up. I was not a pastor's kid growing up. But Steve actually had a son in high school. And so his son was around a lot. And I got to know him. And it was kind of fun just getting to know them and just be really good friends with them, right? And then when we were living together, I remember one day we got a phone call to our house because we still had house phones then. And we got a phone call. And Steve picked up the phone. And he just dropped it all of a sudden. We had found out that his son had just died in a car accident. And I was just like, it was like one of those moments where it's like, I when you don't know what to say kind of thing. And that's usually, by the way, a good sign to not say anything. So I was just blown away, and I sat there with him, and we were just together in this house. I mean, it was a terrible house, too, but we kind of just locked the place down almost. And over about the next month, you know, through the grieving process and the funeral and all the things that came along with that, it was weird. My role as his friend, we'd kind of joke about it in the house, is that I was his doorman. And that my role was to kind of guard who came to our house and let the right people in. And not that there's wrong people, but when people are hurting and scared and they want to do something, sometimes they just say dumb things, right? And they don't know how to navigate grieving and things like that. And so my role as his friend was to listen to him, let him cry, and then just kind of be his doorman. And it's always stuck with me. What does it look like to be a friend in the midst of adversity? And I've always asked this question, who would be my doorman? Who'd be my doorman? Who would I want there when the scariest and most terrible thing happened? Who would I want there to be there for me when I'm not strong enough to even make my own decisions? That's what I think the Proverbs talking about. And that's something for you to think about. Who's your doorman? Who would you have there? Who would sit there? Who do you trust like that? It's always stuck with me. Not only that, though, we see in Proverbs that a friend is faithful, right? What does that mean? Well, we learn from Jesus. Jesus is faithful to us when we're not very good friends to him. I think that's a key for faithfulness, right? Faithfulness implies something. It implies the reality that I'm going to stick with you even when you haven't totally stuck with me. And there can be a lot of things that lead to that happening. But I think that's a huge part of being a good friend, or having a good friend, is somebody who is faithful. I get it. I have a friend who's been extremely faithful to me. He's been very faithful to me for a long time now, for years, and even before we were here at the Well, and through our whole time here. He's been really just kind of a faithful friend to me. And like I said at the beginning, I'm a difficult person sometimes to be a friend with. And like, I get it. And I'm trying to grow in that. And like, I have like these emotional swings. Like one day I'm like cloud nine. Next day I'm like, this is the saddest day ever. Don't worry, I'm getting lots of help. I'm paying lots of counseling fees, right? Like, you're like, oh, should he be talking right now? Right? Like, but the reality is that like, I understand I'm an emotional person. I'm a passionate person, which means I can be a very difficult person to be a friend with. I speak out of turn. I get too excited. I get mad quickly. I have lots of sins that I've got to deal with. So guess what? It can be hard to be my friend. And this person has been faithful with me through all of this. This friend has seen me at my highs and my lows, but I know he's faithful. And that matters a lot. And so think about it for a minute. Are you a faithful friend? That doesn't mean you ignore your friend's problems or ignore their sins, right? Like I can hear, Matt, you're on a slippery slope, you know, just being faithful, you just can't listen. I know. I'm not saying we ignore that stuff, but it means you have hard conversations when they need to be had, but with wisdom, right? Friendship is a wisdom issue. You listen, though. The other key, though, to faithfulness is this. One thing that I think gets overlooked when we talk about faithfulness, especially in relationships a lot of times, is that faithfulness requires grace. If you want to be a faithful friend, you're going to have to be a grace-filled friend. If you do not have the capacity to give grace to your friends, you will not have friends. I guarantee it. If you have an inability to give grace, to not always correct, maybe sometimes to just listen, Like, think of it this way. Is your friend allowed to have a bad day? Or do you feel the need to correct them? Right? We have to be grace-filled people in our relationships and with our friends. Do you have the capacity to give grace? Or are you the kind of person that kind of just shoots the wounded? Do you know what I mean by that? Oh man, lost cause. Move on. That's not what Jesus does with us, and he's our model for this. And this is a good start to knowing what a friend is. Knowing the person that will sit with us in adversity, and we know is faithful. I think there's a lot more to friendship, right, than that, right? It's a Rubik's Cube. It's complex. But that's a really good start. I don't have... So let's go into this first. I think we have to ask the question as well, what does a friend do though? Like we can talk about the all these things, and there's a lot of different things, and there's a lot of stuff I can look into, but I think there's one key dynamic. If you're looking for the depth of true, deep friendship that we see in the book of Proverbs, there's something that stands out that Proverbs pulls out more than any other book in the Bible, and it's this. A friend is a person that helps you see yourself. A friend is a person that helps you see yourself. Can we all agree that we have blind spots? Anybody else? Okay, a few of us. Right? We all have blind spots. We all, at times, can convince ourselves of what we are doing is right. Right? You know who the best lawyer for you is? You. Right? In the court of your mind, your lawyer gets up every day and argues your case for you. Well, you know, like, I'm just this way right now because I'm working more hours than I normally do, and I don't have enough sleep, and I haven't been eating well. Or maybe it's a deeper soul issue, and you're a little bit of a jerk, and you need to figure that out. Right? Like, that's the reality of what's going on. And so that lawyer can convince us, no, it's all these external things. That's not usually true. Those things might contribute for sure. But the reality is that we need somebody to help us see ourselves. So that's a two-way street, right? We have to be willing to allow somebody to see us, right? And we have to be willing to receive that and give that back to them as a gift, right? This is a really important part of it. Proverbs 27:6 says this, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy," right? That's wisdom. Are you able to receive from a friend something that maybe you don't want to receive? Right? I think that's a key for understanding how friendship is to work. Do you have someone that you can ask, help me see myself? We say this all the time at the Well. One of the most dangerous questions anybody can ask is, how do you perceive me? But it's one of the most important questions that we can ask. How do you perceive me? And you should do that. Not with everybody. Please don't do that with everybody. Do it with somebody that's your friend. Right? Faithful. Somebody that can walk through you stuff with a difficult time, that knows you. How do you perceive me? And if it hurts a little bit, that's okay. That's a sign of great love from that friend. Now, disclaimer. When people read this verse that we just read, right, about the wounds of a friend, or in the same proverb a little bit further down, 27:17, you get the really famous one is iron sharpens iron, right? People like to pull that, particularly Christians, we like to pull it out and go, see, it's intense, it's rough, and I'm just getting at the point, and I want you to repent of your sin and be better. That's not what it's doing. That's not the point of these passages. And so don't abuse the passages. Something I've noticed amongst Christians sometimes is that in an attempt to be holy, and I believe that's what it is, sometimes our friendship doesn't look much like a friendship. It looks more like an investigative reporter that's digging into every corner, nook and cranny of the person's life and just always wanting to, you know, it's always covered in good Christian language, just trying to help you be better, brother. Right? I just want to help you along here. Well, I want to give you something that I think is very helpful. Remember, friendship is a wisdom issue. A good, wise friend is able to do something, though. Remember, wisdom allows us to navigate, but what are they able to do? Proverbs 19:11, one of my favorite proverbs. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. You don't have to call out every offense in all your relationships. Sometimes it's better to go, man, they're having a rough day. And by the way, not everything that you think is an offense is always a sin. Right? So you have to navigate that. You have to learn that. You have to know that not everything going on in there needs to be investigated, needs to be pulled out to the surface. Sometimes being a friend and being wise in that friendship is actually letting the friend go a little bit and be like, it's okay. I know that they're struggling right now. I know that they're going through a lot. And I'm going to be a grace-filled person with them. I'm not just going to overlook sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we just let them do whatever they want. I'm saying, hey, I'm going to give mercy to you as God has given mercy to me. Right? Sometimes when you're hurting, the last thing you need is correction. Sometimes you need somebody just to listen. And that's the sign of a good friend. We don't need to bring up every wrong in every relationship. Friendship's a two-way street. But wise honesty is the key part of it. And it can be scary. Because asking somebody, how do you perceive me? How do you receive me? How do you see me? Those are hard things to do. But they're worthwhile if we want to have true friendship. So a friend is faithful. They help during times of adversity. And they help us see our true selves better. They help, like, that's the best part about that, right? They can actually help us see what God's doing in us better than we sometimes know. But we must remember what is the most important part of this. We must remember who our truest and best friend is. That it is God. I was thinking through these two passages side by side this week. It's Proverbs 18:24. And it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You can just leave that up there for a second. That's a remarkable passage, right? And so it makes you kind of go, well, who is that? Who is a friend who sticks closer than a brother? And maybe you have somebody you can name in your life right now who is that. That's awesome. And praise God for that. But listen, the truth is if you've come to Christ, you all have somebody that you can name. And it's Jesus. And he's done the most amazing work. The other passage that I love putting side by side with this, we've already read part of it. We're going to read a little bit more. But it's John 15, starting in verse 13. It says, greater love has no one than this. This is Jesus speaking, right? That someone lay down his life for his friends. Do you think Jesus was getting ready to, was teaching us something in that? You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from you, my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. You see, the best friend that we have is Jesus. And he says there's no greater love that somebody could have for somebody than to lay down their life. What did Jesus do? He did exactly that. Isn't it amazing? When our God speaks, he does what he says he's going to do. And he laid down his life for us. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of friendship and that we are created to have. Jesus has made a way for us to be his friend. And then by being his friend, opens the door to a reality of friendship that our souls long for. Sure, right? Friendship, it's like one of these Rubik's Cubes. Maybe it's easy for you. Maybe it's hard for you. I don't know which one. But last night I was sitting around talking to my neighbor. And he was, again, doing the Rubik's Cubes and making me angry because I sat here with mine. And he just would like do his and like turn it over and like set it down and mess it up again and do it again just to like kind of rub it in my face because he's that kind of good friend, right? And as I was sitting there, he's like, you know what's weird about it? He's like, as you do these Rubik's Cubes and you learn kind of the method of doing it, sometimes there's a little variation that's thrown in there. Sometimes there's like you get a little something wrong and it throws the whole thing off, even though you've done it over and over and over and over again. And I think the truth for us is this, is that that is friendship. Is that even as we grow in it, even as we become more wise, even as we get rid of misconceptions, we're dealing with people. And the reality is it's never the same. And it's difficult. And it's complex. But we can look to the relationship that we have with Jesus when it seems like, is this even worth it? And know that it is. Friendship isn't easy, but it's worth it. And it's actually what we were made to be. We are made to be friends with one another and to have good friends. So here's what I want you to do for our application today. You ready? You guys know I love application stuff. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to do it with you. I know you got it with you because you don't leave home without it. Take out your phone. I'm going to do it with you. Don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to like give or anything. That comes next. I want you to go to your text messages, okay? In your text messages, I just want you to think for a minute. Who's a good friend? Who's a good friend? And I want you to send them a message letting them know that they're a good friend to you and that you're thankful for. Because friendship is something I've learned. It's a beautiful gift from God. And we need to be reminded of it. And the people that are good friends need to know that they're good friends. Because I don't know about you, sometimes the people I'm friends with, I don't feel like I'm a very good friend, right? So one of our roles as a friend can be to become a great encourager of our friends. Now, if you find yourself sitting there thinking you don't really have any good friends right now. That might be the case, and this isn't meant to condemn you or anything like that. Maybe it's you've just been moving a lot. It's a new phase of life, and people have grown distant, and you're kind of like, I don't know where I'm at. Well, this is an opportunity to pray to God and say, hey, God, I need good friends in my life. How might I go about doing that? How do I seek that out? How does that longing satisfy? And then maybe for some of us, we're looking around going, I don't really have good friends. And it's not because I've moved. It's because I'm difficult. Listen, there's grace for you in that. Trust me, there was grace for me in that. I'm a difficult friend. But we have to treat friendship as a wisdom issue, right? And we must grow out of our misconceptions about friendship and seek to become a great friend. Why? Because Jesus has been the best friend to us. Remember, friendship is a wisdom issue. And we, as we go through this book of Proverbs, we are outgrowing a lot of misconceptions. But we'll have to do that over and over and over again throughout life. But know that the grace of God is with you in it. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the Well podcast. For resources and information on how you can support our mission to proclaim the gospel and make disciples, please visit us online at www.boulderwell.org.